Glad you're here this morning for worship. We get to start a brand new series today. That's always an exciting time and see what the Lord is going to do. We're going to be looking, as you've noticed, to what time is Christmas. And this morning, as it's time to spread the word, to share the good news about the Lord Jesus, we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 17. So I ask you to do that. And if you're new with us this morning, we're totally excited that you are here. And inside your Sunday bulletin, you'll find what we call a Life Point outline. So if you will, pull that out so that we can get ready and you can follow along and have some things to remember the message by this morning. And I want to encourage you about those things that are in the bulletin. There's so many good things, particularly the family that has adopted. We're just totally excited about that and how it totally changes the life of some children. So be sure and go by and encourage them. We want to be a church that does that, encourages people in this as they open up their hearts and homes to children who need that. So please go by and do that today. Just be sure and look over the bulletin. So many good things. The Christmas parade tomorrow, we're going to have a float in that. Some of our young kids will be involved. And so that's going to be something that you're going to want to see. And just a lot of good stuff that's happening. Our own Becky Compton's musical is going to be out at Angelina College. I think that's Tuesday night, isn't it? I looked at it, but you know, between the seat and here, I can forget that. So, you know, there's just some good stuff that's in there. Be sure and read that over. And thank you for your support in coming when we have a business conference. This is something that we do just to be transparent, let people know what's going on. And we need you here. We don't take up a lot of time. We get up, put up, and shut up and let you go. But it's the Lord's business, and we need your vote on that to approve it for this next year. A small increase in the budget because we're going to be seeking to get the building going and getting, of course, it paid for. So we're doing what we can to be good stewards of what the Lord is doing and giving us here and the things that the money you're putting in. So please remember that. That's at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here in the worship center. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 17. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." Then verse 17, "And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." And so what we're talking about is it's time to spread the word, to talk to people about the Lord Jesus during this Christmas season. We've got 5 great weeks during this month to get through the month of December with the true Christmas spirit intact. And that's what I want us to have. That's what I want to be full of that, and I want you as well. And the reality is that often, if we're honest, we might not want anybody to know what's going on in our homes, even during the Christmas season. And so that's a real issue. It's kind of like the song that's sung. It was sung in a high school choir. It was called "The 12 Days After Christmas." And I'm only going to take, I can't go through the whole song because it's just not, I'm not going to do that. But I want to tell you the first couple of verses go like this. "The first day after Christmas, my true love and I had a fight. So I chopped down that pear tree and burned it just for spite. Then with a single cartridge, I shot that stupid partridge." You know, if we're honest, we're like, yeah, I've had some Christmases like that. I have been. And it may be, you know, that either last year or the year before or whatever, and maybe on a regular basis, you have a Christmas that's not such a good Christmas after all. And the reality is, one of the reasons that we come to worship, one of the reasons that we show up here is because we realize the truth of Scripture. And that is that you and I are broken people living in a broken world. And I realize if I don't keep my focus right, if I don't walk closely with the Lord, my home can be less than desirable. Would you say amen to that? Not about my home, but your home as well. We need this. Would you agree with that? We need it. We need to feed our souls on that. But the reality is, even though that's true, at the same time, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am a new man. My wife, I know, is a new woman. God dwells in us. But the reality is, according to the book of Isaiah, all of us have a tendency to stray. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. And so it is my tendency to wander. It is my tendency to yield to the flesh and to begin to behave in a way that is dishonoring to God and brings disunity in my home. Well, the goal of this series for the month of December is for you and I to have a better December, for us to stay on point. And if last year was a bummer, if last year wasn't good, if you had some family issues that didn't turn out well, I just want to say this year doesn't have to be a repeat, and that you would be encouraged by that. And this whole series is about us realizing that we've got choices that you and I can make that will honor the Lord and will bless our lives, and our homes will bring about the enlargement of God's kingdom because of the way that you and I live. You know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I leave the house at 5 a.m. to go to the gym. And it's not only just to keep me healthy and to keep me mobile as I go through life and get gradually older, but it's also gives me an opportunity to be immersed in the world culture. It gives me an opportunity to be out in the world in a new and a fresh way every day. And I look for those opportunities to be able to share Christ when I'm able to. And so God, every day of our lives, we get the opportunity to be outside our homes, outside the church walls, and God wants us to be a witness for Him, that we bear witness. And I don't want us to forget that. So this month, I'm going to be tackling what the Christmas season is all about and things that maybe you missed last year. And so if you've got your life point outline open, I want you to notice this truth. Many of us miss the opportunities at Christmas to share the good news. And I just want us to think, I want us to remember that. And for a long, long time, I realized it is easy for me, because I have a shepherd's heart, it is easy for me to focus on seeking to just minister to you, to just put some food in the trough, to just feed your soul and to speak to you. But at the same time, I am reminded again that we cannot become too inwardly focused, right? We've got to be thinking outwardly as well. Because that is the Great Commission, right? You say amen to that? Amen. We cannot forget that. And the good news of Jesus Christ is what Christmas is all about. And sometimes, at Christmas time particularly, we get so busy doing church things and seasonal things that we forget about telling somebody personally about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foremost way that I do that is not just by trying to live a good life, although that's part of it. But even after I seek to live a life that's exemplary and it just follows after the Lord, I've got to open my mouth for the Lord. I've got to use my mouth foremost. That's the biggest thing that I do. And then at Christmas time, we can tell the story right by our yard art, right? What do you put out there? You know, do you put out there the story of Christmas and what it's all about? More and more, that is so needed in our day, because our culture is further and further away from Christ. And I'm not trying to diss anybody. I haven't gone around checking out your yard art. But, I mean, we need to kind of get away from Santa Claus and the reindeer, and we need to get back to Bethlehem. Amen. And just telling it. You know, this is the deal, because the world is totally losing sight of that. And then you've got the Christmas cards that we can send out, right? And I want to tell you something. One of the best resources for Christmas cards is Navigators. They are about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and sending men and women out to witness and to disciple men and women for the Lord Jesus. They have got some Christmas cards that are exceptional. And they tell the story in a beautiful, beautiful way of Christmas. And so go online, look at Navigators, and every time you buy cards from them, you're helping people share the gospel of Jesus Christ and putting missionaries out all around the world. And so sending out Christmas cards is a great way to promote the gospel. But I want you to look at our text about what happened that first Christmas, Luke 2 and 10. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." And then we read that the shepherds went and checked this out, and they saw the baby Jesus in Bethlehem, right? And then look at verse 17. "And when they saw this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." Now listen, that's what the good news of our Lord, that's what the good news about Jesus is all about. Someone told them about him, they go and check it out, and then they go and tell somebody else so that they can go and find out what they found. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the joy of sharing the good news. That's what I always seek to do every time we meet together for Christmas Eve. We have a great time of candlelight and carols, but I want to bring a short message that's going to point people toward Jesus, right? Because that's the whole purpose of Christmas. And so true Christians, when we're walking with the Lord, if I'm really close to him and walking with him, it will be in me this desire to share the good news with others. And so what gets in the way of that? And that's what I want you to think about. What gets in the way of you and I doing that? And what can we do to get it out of the way? So number one, in your life point outline, to tell the good news, you and I must enjoy it ourselves. If I'm going to tell the good news, I need to enjoy the good news myself. And so I want you to think about that. Do you do that? Look at the insight. You won't be motivated to share what you don't enjoy. And that's kind of obvious, but it needs to be said. If you're not enjoying it, you're not going to be telling other people about it. But if something's in you and it's just really exciting, you can't help but tell somebody about that, right? And so that's what I want us to be thinking. Read what the angel said to the shepherds. Verse 10, "I bring you good news of great joy." How does news become news of great joy? Look at the truth you outlined. Good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. The only reason what the angels were telling them, the only reason it was good news is because it was good news for the shepherds. It was good news for everybody who would hear it. That's what makes it good news. It's not good news just because it's good news. It is good news because there is this personal thing to it. And you and I are most motivated to share the good news. Listen, I'm most motivated to share the good news if it's happening in me. If the gospel is happening in me. And the joy of Christmas for me is that Jesus Christ has paid all that needs to be paid before God the Father for my sinfulness, my brokenness at my core. All of my wrongness has been paid for by Jesus Christ to God the Father. And because of what Jesus did, God the Father, who must be placated, has forgiven me. I am forgiven by the Father. And the good news is, that gets me excited, is when I close my eyes, and the deal is, I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know tonight when I lay down, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, and neither do you. People younger than you died last week. We don't know when we're going to go. Would you agree with that? And the good news is, because of Christ, if we close our eyes and wake up in the presence of the Father, he is going to say, "Welcome home, my child. Welcome home." Why? Because of Christ. And that's good news. I don't have to fear hell. And he has forgiven me. And he's given me the promise of Romans 8:28. "I will work all things together for your" what? Good. That's good news, because there's a lot of bad stuff happens in my life. And God said, "I'll work it all to your good because of Christ." And the Holy Spirit has come into me because of what Christ did. And he leads me and he guides me and he empowers me to live for the Father. Now listen, as a member of the Hill, you have the blessing of a church family that is seeing lives change. Do you realize that? Amen. This business conference that we're having tonight, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you what has happened this last year. This is what the Father is doing. This is the reason why you and I ought to be excited about the gospel. Our Father blessed us and entrusted us this last year, these last 12 months leading up to, right, actually the last 11 months. We have had to this point 166 additions into our church family the last 11 months. 53 of those came by baptism, 67 by letter, and 46 by statement. 166 additions. And I'm excited about that. And you can be excited about being part of a church like that. But listen, the power of you being able to tell somebody, listen, come to the Hill. God is there. You will not be bored. There'll be a message that you can apply to your heart. You're going to be able to take something away. People will make you feel welcome. We'll give you free coffee and something to eat if you hadn't had breakfast. We'll do everything we can to make you welcome. But let me tell you something. Do you know what the power is? The power isn't that what's going on here. The power is what's going on in your life. It is the power, it's not the number of people who are being baptized here or the lives changed, but it is the story of your baptism. It is the story of your faith. The power and the impact of what you say to others is based upon what Jesus is doing in you. That's the power of it. And the good news is that through faith in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your life has been changed. You know you are forgiven. And that sets you free. And here's the insight. The power of the good news is what it's done for you. And the great joy of Christmas is that you've got hope. And I've got hope not only in this life, but in the world to come. I've got hope that I'm going to be victorious over the cemetery. I'm going to be victorious over the grave. And that when I close my eyes, a holy God in heaven is going to say to me, welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Welcome to the joy of your Lord. And the good news is that you can tell others that God isn't just waiting for you in heaven, but that God is with you here. Every day you've got the Father with you. You talk to him in prayer. He speaks to you in his word, by his word. When you read it, you hear him speaking it to you. And he guides you in your daily life and your decisions by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Is that not true? Amen. And that's what you get to share with others. Psalm 107, verse 2. All of you set free by God, tell the world. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're saying, preach. I want some of that. There is something inside of me. I know that God has drawn me here. I am here this morning, and all of a sudden, God has become real. Let me tell you something. That is a sovereign work of the Lord God. He does that. He comes to you, and he awakens you, and you can say to him this morning, Father God, I hear you. I know that I am a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ didn't just die for the world. I know Jesus died for me. And I know I ask you to come into my life. I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And as much as I understand, I just give my life to you. And I want to follow you. God, I can't do this alone. I want you to work your will in my life. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you how I've kept the joy. People will say to me from time to time, I don't understand how you keep going. They'll say, how old are you? And I'm like, you know, it's kind of personal. I say, well, I'm 69. Well, you don't look 69. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I don't understand how you keep the fire inside of you. And that's an honest question. How I keep the fire in me is that every day of my life, there's not a day goes by that I don't think about the joy of my relationship with the Father. That I know I belong to Him. And He is my, He is alive in me. For the last 51 years, every day of my life, I rehearse and I remember that I am where I am today by the work of God in me. God came to me. I didn't come to Him. And I am so grateful to Him. And He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you walk with me, I will bless you. And I will be with you. And He makes the same promise to you. And that God has said, if you will walk with me, I will take care of you, I will lead you, and I will work everything in this world to your good. And so I filter everything that comes into my life through that. And that is what keeps God alive in me. And the insight in your outline, we enjoy the good news day by choice. That's how we live the life. And that's what I want you to understand. What do I mean by that? Well, in this world we live in, there is the good news of Jesus and there is the bad news of life. Would you agree with that? I have that every day. I have the good news of Christ and I have the bad news of the world. And every day you and I have the good news and the bad news, and we choose what our focus is. We choose what we're going to look at. And I know that some of you are facing maybe some bad news this Christmas. What do you do? What do you do when you're facing bad news? Well, number one, you don't pretend it isn't there. It's real. Yeah, it's there. That's what it is. But you let the good news override the bad news. And the good news is good enough to give me security. Amen. I'm in His hands. The good news is good enough to give me hope. It's not over till it's over. And I don't know what the Father is going to do. And God promises you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. I will bring good to you in the midst of this broken world if you walk with me and trust me. Now listen, every day of my life and every day of your life, I get to live the Garden of Eden all over again. And so do you. Every day of my life and every day of your life, we get to live the Garden of Eden over again, which means you and I get to say, I'm not going to pull an Adam and Eve on God. I'm going to take God at His word, and I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to do what God has told me to do. Every day, God is wanting to know, will you trust me? I told Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. That's the only one. Don't do it. And they didn't believe me. And what I want to know from you every day of your life is, who do you believe? And every day, I get to say, I will not walk their way. I want to follow Him. And Father, I want to come to the end of my life saying, I have sought God to do every day what you want me to do. Does that make sense? Amen. That's what I do. And so in Christ, I don't ignore the bad news. I don't live in la-la land. But by the grace of God, I just don't let it be what drives my life. The good news is, Christ even conquers death, right? Amen. I mean, that's what we take with us when we go to the cemetery, isn't it? Death is not the goal. I'm not putting mama, daddy, brother, or sister, son, or daughter, I'm not putting them in the grave, because in Christ, they're with Him. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for our good. They may not be good, but God brings good to us out of it, to those because we love Him and we are called according to His purpose. And so through faith in Christ, my life has this blessing from God. But one more point, and then I'm going to be off of this, and then I'll move faster, okay? Philippians 4:4, be full of joy in the Lord. Always, I'll say it again, be full of joy. Now notice that phrase, in the Lord. That's Jesus. Fullness of joy comes about because of your relationship and mine with Jesus every day. Now listen, here's what I'm talking about this Christmas. This Christmas in 2019, you and I can get so busy that we have less time for Him. because we've got so much going on in our lives. Would you agree with that? This is where you say, yes, Pastor, we agree with you. Yes. Y'all looking like I'm going to get on you or something. So here's the insight. There's a difference between Christmas tradition and Christmas reality. There's a difference. There are Christmas traditions that we follow year after year, right? You know, the food, the parties, the holiday vacation, the decor in our homes, you know, the trips that we make. Why do we do that? Because it brings happiness. It because of the memories that it does. But listen, everything is good with all those accoutrements in our life as long as life is good. But the point I want you to make is that here's the truth. We only find joy in the reality of what Christmas is about. You see, do not expect traditions to do what they can't do. Traditions cannot give you joy. They give you happiness, but they can't give you joy. Back to Psalm 107, verse 22. With joy they should tell what he has done. And my ability and yours to tell the story of Jesus depends upon the joy of Christ in us. And the joy of Christmas is the story of Jesus, right? That's the joy. We have our traditions that bring happiness. We enjoy that. That's why we do it every year. But it can't bring us joy. Only Jesus can do that. And so that brings us to number two. Make time to tell the good news. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time, in other words, the right time came, God sent his son born of a woman. Listen, this one. Jesus came at just the right time. And so the thought is, what I want us to think about is, so often during the Christmas season, we just can't seem to find the time. We don't get around it. It doesn't occur to us about telling other people about the Lord Jesus. And the reason is because so often we are so busy. We just don't think about it. Too much going on in our lives. Listen to what our Lord said in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And isn't it ironic that in the midst of us celebrating his birth coming into our life, our lives are full of chaos. Because at this Christmas season, we've got all these parties that we've got to go to. We do all this baking. We're making this and we're making that. We do it as well. Entirely redecorating our homes for 30 days. Buying presents for an insane list of friends and family. And so here's an idea. Take out a red pen. That's a good Christmas color. Take out a red pen and go to your calendar and just start crossing some things off. This is good, but I'm not going to do that this year. I'm not going to do that this year. Why? Two things. So number one, you can really enjoy the season of celebrating the coming of Christ. And number two, so that we'll have time to share Christ with other people. That we'll just be able to think about that. So you cross off some things in your Christmas schedule so that you can enjoy what really makes Christmas worthwhile, and that is the birth of the Lord Jesus. Listen to Psalm 90, verse 2. So teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. I don't have to do Christmas this year like I did it last year. So what do I need to do if I'm going to do it Christmas time, what I really need to do biblically? Number three in your outline. Plan it. Luke 2:15. This is what it's, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So it's like they formed a plan. They say, look, guys, let's go. You know, they didn't say, wow, wasn't that nice? I never seen that happen before. No, they're like, let's go to Bethlehem and see. So their plan enabled them to see Jesus. Here's what we're commanded in Mark 16. Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. That's what we're seeking to do through our missions ministry. Just go through these doors that God is opening. Go where God wants us to go. Let me give you five things right quick about a plan or about how to do this. Number one is pray. And that means that you make a list. Make a list of family and friends who need the Lord. You're not seeing Christ in their life. So you put them down on your prayer list. Maybe you've only got one, maybe you've got 10. But these are the people that you just want to bring before the Lord day in and day out, especially during the Christmas season. Then number two, read to the kids. If you still got kids at home or maybe you got grandkids, read to them. Tell them the Christmas story. You know, in Matthew, some people sometimes say, well, where's the Christmas story again? Matthew chapter 2 is the Christmas story with the wise men. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story with the shepherds. Okay? And so and the best time to do that, and I've said it again and again, is of course at bedtime. When everything's settling down and they're just like open to hearing this. And they'll want to do that, especially if you say, hey, look, you get to stay up like 30 minutes longer. You know? I mean, you know, use what you can. Let me give you something that you can use to read. All right, there's a series of books entitled Read Aloud Bible Stories. Read Aloud Bible Stories. You can find it on Amazon for $12 to $15. Volume 3, if you want to start with that, it has the Christmas story in it. And it's just written in a way, it's just great for just reading to the kids. The third thing you can do is have a Christmas movie night at home. These are just some ideas that I found around. And you invite people to come into your home. Show maybe like the Nativity story. That's a great story to show, a movie. And then afterwards, you just sit around, maybe in the living room or at the table, you know, with some coffee and some pie or something, and just give the opportunity to hear them talk about their spiritual journey. And here's an insight I want to give you in your outline. The best way to tell the good news is to begin listening. That's what Jesus did. Listen to people. Tell me about your spiritual journey. How did you come to know the Lord? What's been your journey of faith? And just listen to them. Number four, invite them to Christmas on the Hill at Christmas Eve. Because that's an exciting time. And then take them out for coffee and pie. You notice how pie keeps jumping up. Take them out for coffee and pie or something. You know, go somewhere and just visit. And number five, give somebody hope. Isn't it amazing that at this time of the year, Christmas turns up the volume on whatever you're going through? If you're going through a good time, Christmas makes it better. If you're going through a bad time, Christmas makes it worse. It just gets bleak and dark. But we can change that one person at a time. Maybe there's somebody in your world of reference that you know is having a real hard time. And you just show them love. Show them acts of kindness. Give them Christmas hope. And then number five, lastly, is trust God. Trust God in this whole process. Now, because I know some of you probably have been sweating. You're really glad you put on perspiration. What is that? A deodorant. Because you're just like sweating under your arms, you know, with just talking to somebody about the Lord. Listen. And I didn't know this for a long time. My whole goal in sharing the gospel was to get them on their knees. That's what I was after. But you understand, if you're a gatherer of fruit, you can pick something too green, right? And when you pick it before you should, it's just not good. And when you seek to make somebody do something, that's not the real deal. And so trust God with sharing the gospel because it's His good news. And I want you to understand something. There is the nature about sharing the gospel is so often it's just not interesting to a lot of people. And you just got to understand that. It's not interesting to them, and maybe you're just going to be uncomfortable doing it. But here's the insight. The good news often takes time to sink in. Just trust God. Why? God said, you sow the seed. He said, the seed will do its work. Our part is, write this down. My part is to tell. God's part is to do the changing. I tell, I don't sell. I'm not trying to close a deal. You're not trying to make somebody a believer. Just tell what God has done in your life. God said, I'm not calling you to be a salesman. I'm calling you to be just somebody who broadcasts the truth. And the truth you outline, we don't pressure people with the gospel. We tell them the gospel, and God changes them. Now, here's how I want to close our service this morning. Would you just bow your heads for just a moment? I want to call you to just respond this morning. I want us to start this month by just praying. And maybe there's somebody already that's on your heart, somebody that's come across your world, they're in your world, you've wondered about them, you don't know where they are with the Lord. God's put them in your life. And I want us to pray for them this morning. Maybe it's a son, it's a daughter, a spouse, but there's somebody that needs your prayer, that you'd pray for them. And they would go on your Christmas list to pray for, that they would come to faith in Christ. What I want to ask you to do, we're going to stand in just a moment. Stacy's going to come. We're going to have just a little bit of, just some music, quietly, reverently. I want to invite you just to come and stand here. We're just going to pray for people that are in your frame of reference, and for God to just open up some doors of opportunity, and for you then that you just have the opportunity just to tell them what Christ has meant to you, how God has changed your life. That's what you do. And you tell them the good news. And then you don't sell, you tell. And we can do that. And so let's stand together. We'll start with some music, and I want to invite you just to come. The altar is here at the front. Maybe it's a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, someone that's close to you, a neighbor, someone you work with. I want you just to come, and what you're doing in coming, you're bringing them with you to bring them before the Lord, someone that you've got a burden for. We're going to pray for opportunities for these loved ones to come to faith in Christ and for us to be what God wants us to be, especially during this Christmas season.